Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Hey, July 4th weekend, the Women's Gold Cup playing for the championship. A lot of exciting USA stuff going on. So we're all rooting for you ladies on Sunday's final. I don't even know who you're playing yet. We got a great doubleheader today. Greg Justice, he's a best-selling author. He's a speaker. He's a fitness entrepreneur. He's the CEO of Scripta Publishing. He's a National Fitness Hall of Fame member. The guy introduced me a couple of months ago when I had the honor of being inducted. So we're excited about him joining me. And then Dr. Robert Watkins IV, he's a renowned orthopedic spine surgeon to many pro athletes. They treat so many of the Los Angeles teams, the Dodgers, Rams, Clippers. So we're excited about speaking with him. He's the director of the Marina Spine Center. And then, of course, it's the Sports Doctors In and your emails. But let's jump right in, get started. Again, Greg Justice, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Well, Dr. Bob, it is a pleasure to talk with you today, and I look forward to our conversation.
Great. Give us a little bit of a quickie background, Greg. I call it the who, what, you know, which is who you are and what you do, a little bit of info right off the bat.
All righty. Well, I am an exercise physiologist, and upon graduating with my master's degree, I decided to open Kansas City's original personal fitness training center in May of 1986. So now we are in our 34th year of business, and I also own a publishing company called Scripta Publishing Group, which primarily works with fitness professionals, and then also a National Corporate Fitness Institute, which is a certifying body for fitness professionals interested in corporate wellness.
You know, I think when you're talking about the middle 80s, when you started getting involved even in the world of personal training, excuse me, back then a lot of medicine didn't know how to spell the word personal trainer, let alone incorporated, and you know, it's come a long, long way, baby. It's great that you've been a pioneer. I want to mention also, you know, Greg is, I think he's authored or co-authored like 25 different books. So the importance of wellness, fitness, and how you stress its importance in the corporate world is something you guys pay big attention to also, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, I got into corporate wellness kind of accidentally. It was shortly after completing my graduate degree and starting my personal training business. You know, I was challenged with not only introducing a new business to Kansas City, but truly a new industry. So it wasn't like I could just open my doors and all of a sudden people were coming in. It took a while to build that base of people to get them to even understand what personal training was. Because back then, personal training were a few bodybuilders from Gold's Gym that would help people, you know, lift heavy weight. So my big focus was to turn it into a real business. And while I was building that real business, I took a job as a corporate wellness supervisor here in the Kansas City area just to make ends meet. And I spent 2 years doing that and growing my business. And at that time, my wife came to me and said, choose one. You've got two full-time jobs. If you want to be part of the family, choose one. And so I, of course, my entrepreneurial spirit made me focus on my own business. I gave up the corporate wellness job, but I kept getting calls from the CEOs, CFOs, and HR managers that I had been working with previously. So I thought, well, I'll just open a corporate division under the umbrella of my personal training business.
Yes, and of course, the importance we've talked about it for decades on the Sports Doctor, Greg, is the
healthy
employee is just a better employee. Everything in the area of a company, small or large, that includes a fitness program and attention to that is something that really is very, very important. You know, again, back then, I was with Bob Guida in the late 70s. Bob, a Lifetime Achievement Award winner, along with the National Fitness Hall of Fame.
Well deserved.
And, you know, off-season training and the personal training was a brand new situation, and still, of course, in the 80s, and, you know, paying attention to all aspects, whether you're the best athlete in the country or you're the parents of a very serious athlete. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You could zip over to radio shows, and gosh, you can go back to 2010. I think that's before we had the reels-to-reels. And you could see the different kinds of guests and topics that we talked about. You could listen to whatever you'd like. You could go over to newspaper articles and magazines and read on all sorts of topics in the area of everything from what's the best shoe to what about specialization to concerns of concussions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So many topics that we follow. We have a lot of great information. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter, whether they're authors or doctors or trainers or whatever. But we have over 30,000 followers at SportsDocDOC Radio. Lots of great information besides who the guests are, what the topics might be upcoming on the radio. Greg Justice, again, a member of the National Fitness Hall of Fame 2017. Tell us about your book publishing group.
Yes, Scripter Publishing Group is a publishing company that we really focus on primarily working with fitness professionals, fitness business owners. We did a study and found that 90% of fitness professionals wanted to write a book, but they just had no idea where to begin. And so we've developed a 7-step system, and we've now worked with over 100 authors. Each of them has become an Amazon bestseller. And so it's a very systematic process.
I need you to help me on my book, man, with Sharky Darvin.
We can do it.
Hashtag Hey Sports Parents.
Yes.
It's a great idea, great topic. What's the website, Greg, people could find out about everything that you're doing?
Sure. Well, a couple of them. One of them is gregjustice.com or scriptorpublishinggroup.com.
Okay. And the interesting topic, I know one of your books, Mind Over Chatter, the Psychology of Athletic Success, or is it the Physiology? Do I have the title right?
Yeah. Mind Over Head Chatter is the Psychology of Athletic Success. And really, I've written a series of mindset books, and that's one specific to athletics. And if you think about it, whether it be success in athletics, in business, in weight loss, anything in life, it all starts with the 6 inches between your ears. And until you get your mindset right, you're never going to be successful. So, you know, we just focus a lot on taking care of that before getting out on the field and participating in the game.
Yes, the epidemic of overuse injuries that I was referring to in co-authoring the book, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was physical and mental.
Right.
Because of the pressure and the overscheduling and the overuse and the overkill, big problem, you know, when we saw weeks ago a brawl over 7-year-olds at a where the umpire was 13 and the parents was still going nuts in some situation or another. So that the whole aspect, again, whether you are a very, very serious parent of an athlete or a parent of a serious athlete, again, or you're looking to stick to the particular program that you're trying to have goals with, et cetera, then the mind is such a big deal, and we pay big attention to that all the time on the Sports Doctor. Whatever the level is, we find out, and we continue to learn about the challenges of I call it the mental game.
Yes. Well, you know, so much of it, so many kids these days burn out before they get to the point, either high school, college, or beyond college, just because of the intensity that comes from the parents. And we really try to focus right at the beginning of the book. We talk about how to reignite the passion that you had at the beginning when you got into that sport. And again, so many times it's because of the parents that have pushed and pushed and driven the kids away from the sport. So, you know, we talk about the difference between obsession and harmonious passion. And we want to make sure that, you know, your
good
sport
term
can be, so you can identify or it can be part of your identity. So
harmonious
it doesn't define
passion.
Who you are. Yes, harmonious.
Well,
there's
passion.
A lot of
like
research.
That.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of research over the last 15 or 20 years in the area of psychology, and they studied passion, and they've been able to define the difference between harmonious and obsessive passion. And when you can't let go and when you can't forgive yourself, you know, then you become obsessed and owned by that sport. But if you can move on, forgive yourself, and allow it to be part of your life, not your whole life, then that's harmonious passion.
You know, one of the chapters I write in the book, Greg, is called the Prodigy Sports. Mm-hmm. And the prodigy sports I'm talking about, like figure skating, like gymnastics, like ballet, even mm-hmm. tennis and soccer, where you have young adolescents wanting to specialize in that single sport, no matter how many people and how many directions tell them. We all want kids to play multiple sports,
right.
But the prodigy sports is a different story. And many times I would use your profession, the physical therapist, the personal trainer, to be able to put that young figure skater or gymnast or ballet dancer on the best kind of program that, in addition, they can apply, to what they're doing. And I think that's one of the exciting parts I found about personal training is in some of these kids at almost all levels.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the second chapter, we talk about how success in athletics is a team effort. And that includes your parents, the friends you hang out with, your teammates, your coaches, and everybody working together, all of the different support systems. So, yeah, no, I agree that it all needs to be, you know, harmonious and working together for their success. And part of it is a balanced workout regime
yes.
specific to those sports you're talking about.
Yes. Let alone if they got good biomechanics, you know, with their foot mechanics.
Yes,
not that I'm prejudiced.
Absolutely.
And strengthening the feet and ankles. Another chapter in my book, Greg, is called
yes.
Youth Sports and Drugs. And
yep.
the explosion of over-the-counter pain medicines.
Right.
Over-the-counter medicines, you know, it's a big pet peeve on the Sports Doctor is the United States, and we don't stop with the television advertising of prescription medicines and pain medicines, and the fact of these younger and younger kids who are overscheduled and overdoing it. Dr. Weil, don't you understand? I know his ankle's hurt, but he's got a competition this week, et cetera, et cetera. So what if he takes a couple Advil? And it's a big, big deal. So again, we need that sensibility to not go over the edge. And to try to do the best we can when we see that over the edge is the reality. You know,
absolutely.
Our second guest is the renowned spine surgeon working with all these different pro athletes and these kinds of pressures. You can imagine what they are in professional sports. But again, in the corporate world, the high level of the corporate world, pressure's on there also, isn't it, Greg?
Yes, indeed. Well, and that's why corporate wellness is so important. You know, people spend so much time at work these days, and it's important to give them some kind of a physical stress relief. And, you know, when you have happy, healthy employees, they are productive. And, you know, that's bottom line.
I think it's, again, catching on with so much excitement. What's amazing is whether we look at another one of my pet topics on the Sports Doctor, childhood obesity, or if you look at general obesity, we're still treading water. And with all the great education, it's one of the things that I'm so honored to be part of the whole educational world of the National Fitness Hall of Fame, is, you know, with it seems a physical therapy place on every other corner or a gym and all of this information, that in a lot of ways we're treading water. And the I look at you as a real educator, and, the challenge continues, doesn't it?
It does. You know, and the knowledge is everywhere. Everyone knows that working out and eating right are good for you. And so they can get the knowledge anywhere. And that's where you and I and our professions come in, is that it's the application. And when we apply that knowledge and work with these individuals, that's when they see true success. So you're right. We're treading water with the obesity epidemic with kids and adults, but we're here and we're ready to help solve the problem.
Well, you write about it. You know, you write
about
it. Again, you got a great title with the Mind Over Chatter, and that, you know, the how important that concept is, and the you mentioned it very, very early on, whether it's someone's new exercise program, whether you're the parent of a talented kid or traveling teams, et cetera, that you need to be paying attention to some of these different mental challenges that can become stifling.
Yes. Well, it all starts there. If you can't get out of your own way, you'll never be successful.
You know, it's interesting. I'm going to be taking part, I hope, in this. My guest last week, Joe Franco, is the producer and director of the upcoming documentary, Youth Sports, the Film, What's with the $15 billion a year youth sports industry? And it's a tremendous challenge, as, again, we've seen such an explosion in overuse that it becomes a real challenge. Greg, give us, because we flew through the time with you, give us the websites again. People could find out more about you and your books.
Yeah, you can find out about my books and my businesses in general at gregjustice.com. And the publishing company is Scriptor, and that's Scriptor Publishing Group.com.
Greg Justice. Hold on, Greg. Everybody, we're going to be right back from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, Hey Sports Parents. Hey, everybody. We're back live from Chicago. Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. And check out my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go to radio shows, and you can go back 10 years and listen to whatever you would like. Pick the topic, pick the guest. While I'm mentioning that, we're waiting for Dr. Robert Watkins IV, the prominent spine surgeon, and I think he might not be available. So if he becomes available, let him absolutely chime in with us. We definitely were excited about seeing what it's like to work with all those pro athletes and those pro teams, I think including Peyton Manning and Brock. So I think what we'll do is I think I'll spend a little bit of time. First of all, let's talk a little bit about the Gold Cup. As everybody knows, we feature soccer all the time, all the running. Soccer is played at such a young age in the United States. It's one of the earliest sports that children play. And they're running. You can run in a soccer game at 5, 6 years old and kick a ball. And we start seeing traveling teams and serious play at early adolescence. As a matter of fact, I added to what I consider the prodigy sports. I spoke about in the first section with Greg, prodigy sports, meaning specialization. Again, as a sports doctor and all my colleagues, we would like every boy and girl to play multiple sports in order to use different parts of the body in different ways, safer. There's no evidence that specializing will make them a better athlete of that sport, by the way. But the susceptibility to so-called repetitive motion injuries, repetitive stress injuries are aggravated with specialization. So when that's the case, we really like some supervision and training and strengthening for that boy or girl. And again, soccer is a good example with, again, so much running. And it's 80%, 75% of the last World Cup women's champion Americans, 80% of the gals played multiple sports. So I bring that up to many of my young athletes as a great example that you can become the best in the world and you played other sports as a growing boy or girl and you weren't necessarily locked in to doing only one sport only. And I do make the caveat that when I have boys and girls, and everybody listens to the sports doctor knows that I've been putting orthotics in figure skates for like 4 decades. And I post a guy, 2010, men's Olympic gold medalist, grew up in Naperville, Illinois, Evan Lysacek, and again, he's 10, 11 years old. So the specialization very early with figure skating is that's what it is. Gymnastics is the same. Some of these other sports also. So when that's the case, we want to work to try to keep this boy or girl as safe as possible, telling mom and dad we need some, whether that's at home, supervision for strengthening what my famous colleague Bob Guider called the opposites or the breaks. So the dancer who's dancing the same way all the time with the same stresses is now strengthening the opposite kind of stability and strength. It's a great way to do that with balance work. It's a great way to do that, with rubber bands. And just as everybody knows, that's one of the biggest points of these early specific training. So everybody's excited with these gals who are playing in the finals on Sunday. They're either playing, unless I get a clue from somebody here, the Netherlands or Sweden in the final. And it's going to be exciting to watch. At the same time, on the other side of the equation, the beginning of Wimbledon and Wimbledon tennis, this young girl, Coco, I don't remember the rest of her name, the 15-year-old who beat Venus Williams, her idol as she was growing up. Of course, one of the Williams sisters. Venus is now 37, 38 years old. She might even be 39. I'm not sure. and this young 15-year-old was able to beat her. Great example of what we're talking about, where this kid had to be playing tennis at a very, very, very early age, and here she is. It's so unusual. I think she's the youngest kid to maybe qualify for Wimbledon or to play in a first-round match. But it's pretty extraordinary because last January, her name escapes me again because I didn't quite expect to be doing this segment. The young girl who won the United States Women's Figure Skating Championship was before her 14th birthday. So when we use these kinds of examples as this is what is, whether you're looking at the Olympics or, again, Olympics is a great example where we see this kind of superstar early talent and what it took to get there, these great, great stories. It's why I always get excited when I have these various organizations talking about the whole family approach and the whole challenge of youth sports parents, youth sports grandparents, stressing the idea of that approach of trying to deal with some of these different pressures. Last week I had Michael Klein on, my financial friend, talking about the financial challenge of so much of traveling sports, and he labeled traveling as one of the biggest challenges. He was talking about families understanding how many thousands of dollars a year they're spending on travel and the maybe club sports and travel sports. Kids might be 13, 14, 15 years old or younger. So all of this goes into the documentary that we spoke about last week with Joel Franco. Joel is the Italian filmmaker who's taking on this whole topic of youth sports. What about the $15 billion a year industry? You might have to edit that. I think it's $17 billion now. And all the challenges that come with it. And when you watch, and when we watch something like, again, whether it's the World Cup and you're watching these gals who, on the other hand, are fighting for equal pay with the men's soccer, you know, reality is still mixed into a lot of this stuff. Or we're watching the Olympics, and we are astounded by a 15-year-old who might be the best in the world at what they're doing. You know, one of the contributors to the book, Rob Andrews. Rob's been a frequent guest. Rob is the owner of the Sports Academy in Houston. He's got a wall full of gold medals because Rob's worked as a mental coach with the girls' women's gymnastics team. The Simone Biles and the Reismans and all of these superstars involved in those kinds of challenges. Because when you're working with any of these kids, of course, you're working with their family. You're working with their coaches. You're working with their doctors. And one thing's for sure, the pressure is extreme. You know, we've had experts on the Sports Doctor talking about the psychology of coming back from serious injury and that kind of challenge. An athlete maybe staring their career in their eyeballs after some sort of an injury that might be career threatening. We just saw when Kevin Durant went down and he tore that Achilles and all his history. He's still going to get $40 million a year because athletes do come back. But sometimes it's real challenging. Achilles tear is one of them. So it'll be interesting to see as a side note. One of the things I wanted to talk to Dr. Watkins the Fourth about, and if he chimes in, it'll be great, is, again, working with the superstars and working with the professionals. And I've dealt with that myself, whether it was the McEnroes or the Jim McMahons or the 85 Super Bowl Bears or other kinds of Lysacek, the Olympian, having the experience of treating and being around some of these athletes and understanding the pressures to play and the pressures at all different levels. In our crazy world nightmare of pain pill addiction in our country, the big time contribution of athletics and the addiction to and the overuse of and the dependence of opioids is legend already. Again, because many times of having to play hurt, you know, doctor, don't you understand? If I don't stay in the game, I'll lose my position, et cetera, et cetera. Last couple of weeks, we talked about the aspiring college athlete and scholarships. Again, going back to, you know what it takes, you know, the reality, it's one out of a million that becomes a professional in any way, shape, or form. Yet participation many times, teamwork, all of these great things about sports is absolutely in the middle of all of this. There's a lot of positivity. But it's amazing. You know, I've been talking about it on the Sports Doctor for decades. And again, go to sportsdoctorradio.com, go to radio shows, check out some of the guests and topics, listen to what you'd like, zip over to newspaper articles, go over to orthotics, read about that big time topic that we're talking about all the time. You can read about one of our most popular infamous articles, Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge, to the challenges of specialization in one sport in young athletes, to my latest guest editorial in Lower Extremity Review, really was about the team approach to sports medicine those kinds of challenges. So in working with, whether it's the team, working, whether it's the specific athlete, whether it's their family, when these kinds of pressures are on, is a challenge. It's one of the reasons why, with tongue-in-cheek, I renamed performance-enhancing drugs to performance-surviving drugs, where we are taking medicines. There are cheaters, and there's still plenty of them, and it's forever. But a lot of drug use is because we're hurting, because we're in a hurry, because the body doesn't have enough time to heal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And this is a very, very big topic, especially in youth sports. Hey, you know, he's getting paid millions of dollars a year. You know, we're going to look the other way. We all know about these kinds of craziness. So when you're working with some of these professional teams, and I understand Dr. Watkins, I think his dad works with him as maybe some of the different teams, we will definitely get him back, because we really wanted to talk about the injuries. You know, what biggest story was there in the past X amount of months at Tiger Woods with his comeback from four different back procedures? Not only coming back and winning a tournament, playing golf again, but being able to walk, for gosh sake, and play with your kids. Tremendous, tremendous success story in the world of the surgeon, the therapist, the mental coach, and friends and family. So hard to find an area more involved. So we will get Dr. Watkins back, but we're going to be right back, everybody. With the Sports Doctors in, it's the Sports Doctor.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctors In segment. We talk about some upcoming shows. We answer a few emails. Again, my apology. I don't know what happened with Dr. Watkins. We'll try to get him absolutely on sometime in the future. must have been some type of emergency came up. So apology for those expectations. People with spine problems looking to listen in. Next week, again, athletes and drugs, the family dynamics, some of the different challenges, scholarship athletes, the challenges. Mike Oden, author, speaker, will be joining me. And then Mike Harrington, he's a professional member of the National Fitness Hall of Fame. Big claim to fame with his podcast, other activities. The man lost over 200 pounds. He's kept it off. I think it's 10 years. Following week, one of the champions of the Fitness Hall of Fame, Gilad Jankowicz. Gilad's had one of the most popular television shows on exercise in history from Hawaii for a couple of decades. So we're truly one of the pioneers of fitness and TV, education and fitness. And then one of the contributors to Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, a frequent guest, Dr. Denise McDermott. She's got her own podcast. I think I'm going to be joining her next month. Dr. Denise, true holistic child and adult psychiatrist. Great shows, great guests coming up. Where am I here? Richard says, my son is 10 years old. He loves soccer. He's playing a couple times a week. I've heard they shouldn't wear cleats. It's a good question, Rich. There is an active growth center in the youngsters' heels, and it's actively growing and susceptible to stress from 8, 9 years old to 12, 13 years old. And when there's any susceptibility to that, cleats are a direct irritant right under the area. If we see your son doesn't have any problems at all, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. If he's got any kind of history, especially if you're talking about younger kids, I'd put him in a multi-nub shoe, and I will use that even with serious players, multi-nub shoe that doesn't have a cluster of cleats under the heels, because the 90% of the heel problems I see in kids is this inflammation, this Sievers syndrome of the growth center. So being proactive, playing a multi-nub, multi-purpose shoe, and stay away from those specific cleats until he gets into adolescence. Ellen, I'm a 45-year-old walker. I had bunion surgery 2 years ago. Orthotics are important. Yes, Ellen, they are. Talk to your surgeon or podiatrist. Usually the mechanical imbalances that led to the necessity of the development of bunions, the dislocation of the big toe joint, has a lot to do with the foot mechanics. So even though the bunion is aligned and corrected, foot mechanics are not. So orthotics almost always are helpful. And most of the foot surgeons I know routinely recommend orthotics after bunion surgery. So I would absolutely look at that. Even if it feels good, you did great, and it doesn't hurt. Pay big attention to looking at the reality as well as the other foot if that's developing. Bob says, my daughter's a 13-year-old figure skater. That her knees have been bothering her probably on and off for 2 years. She has been actively growing. You know, Bob, absolutely rapid growth can put stress on the knees. One of the common problems is called Osgood-Schlatter, fancy term for inflammation, soreness at the attachment of the kneecap or the patellar tendon to the shin bone, right in the front. And when we grow very fast, we could put stress on that area. Big point, however, is when we add to that pronated feet or foot imbalance feet, flat-type feet, then this really aggravates the torque at the knee on top of the growth. So we have great success, especially if the Osgood is persistent or chronic. Orthotics, even as a kid has good feet, can be very, very helpful. So you want to have that analysis. The other big positive factor, if you're a listener to the Sports Doctor, is as I've been putting proper orthotics in figure skates for decades, it's a big step up. besides looking to get rid of your daughter's knee pain, she'll edge better, she'll be quicker, she'll have better balance when done properly. And that's something that's very, very exciting. I've written about it. We talk about it for years, which is the dual effect of proper orthotics with figure skating. One, really deal with so many problems, back trouble, knee problems, feet, heel problems. Big number two, everything's better. Again, edging, agility, balance, because the orthotic is helping align the foot and ankle. Same concept as if we were using an orthotic in the 80-year-old who's got arthritis in their feet and hips, and we're trying to better balance or better support that particular structure. I don't know if you have any more time. Steve says, my son is 16 years old. He sprained his ankle. They said it's a grade 2. Do we need rehab? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And grade 2, he didn't tear anything, but he aggravated something. And a big mistake not doing any rehab. Fact, he didn't fracture anything, terrific. But you want to go to physical therapy, and you want to properly rehabilitate, maybe 4 to 6 weeks, home exercise, especially if there's a history. He didn't mention that, if there's been any kind of history of problems. But regardless, do the proper supervision of rehabilitation, of strengthening, so that the problem doesn't have a chance to reoccur. Cheryl says, I'm 40. My mom was 68 years old. She had hammer toe surgery. I've got the same kind of hammer toes. They don't hurt. Believe it or not, my daughter's 12. She's got the same heredity, question mark? Yes. Often foot type, Cheryl, is inherited. High arch feet, maybe flat feet. Maybe the type of foot that causes the contracture of the toes, a la hammer toes. Maybe the type of feet that develop the bunion deformity, the dislocation and the bump on the side of the big toe. Not all the time, but probably 75% of the time, roughly, we will see the heredity factor. Gee, the kid's flat-footed just like his mom and grandma. Gee, you know, he's bow-legged just like his dad and grandpa. Gee, you know, they have high arches. The whole family's got high arches. So it is a factor to take into account when we're trying to stay out of trouble. In general, we would say orthotics is the best weapon to physically reduce some of the stresses of the contracture of the toes. You and your 12-year-old daughter should be paying attention without looking at their feet. Orthotics done properly is the best we've got to try to put the foot in its best alignment, maybe slow down these kinds of deforming forces. Now, we don't have a time machine. If we did, we would be able to look at a case like you and say, you know, let's see what your 12-year-old daughter's hammer toes look like in 20 years if we never put orthotics in her shoes. Or let's see what they would look like if we do put orthotics in your shoes. But we don't have that technology. We sure don't have an app for it, you know? So we would pay attention to that. And I've seen very, very good results with that over the decades, which is, again, without the time machine, we would be able to stay out of trouble as best we could so that particular kinds of problems weren't surgical problems. There are some things that are surgical problems, but especially in sports medicine, the goal is to duck it as best as possible, as long as possible. And that's something that we're always looking to pay attention to. So the inherited factors, again, whether we're tall and lanky like our parents, whether we're kind of like stiff-legged, et cetera, foot mechanics, pay attention to that. Makes sense. So, hey, everybody, happy July 4th. Go Team USA, the Sports Doctor. See you next week. Thank you. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. An essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. We are back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and we're going to do another segment. It's nothing like live radio. If maybe a guest doesn't show, something happens, and I forget what segments we're in. So we're glad to do another Sports Doctors In segment. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. And you can check out some past shows back to 2010, and you can really get an opportunity to see who was on, what were the topics. Something might interest you. You can listen to the show as well as, of course, on the archives of bbsradio.com/thesportsdoctor. And let's see, I had a few more emails that we wanted to be able to pay attention to. And again, the email, drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. drrweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. We were just talking before about some concerns regarding heels and in growing boy or girl, and Paul says, wanted to know about his 14-year-old tennis-playing daughter and the fact that her heels were bothering her. And that's right on the end of the growth section I mentioned earlier in the show, where we talked about there's that active growth center on the whole back and bottom of the heel. It's actually two pieces, the main heel bone and the cap in the back where the Achilles tendon attaches, coming together as a solid bone, and you could aggravate it. And if you're in a running, jumpy sport, then it's very susceptible to being aggravated. And once it gets aggravated, it could then could be consistently aggravated if we've got, for example, flat feet or excessively high arches, where we start to see the mechanics now keeps the area angry or makes it more susceptible. So at 14 years old, we still might also see heel problems, heel pain. Could be, again, if you're a tennis player, you need a diagnosis. You need to rule out a stress fracture. The heel is a spongy bone. I don't see that a lot, but it's feasible. It needs to be ruled out. Plantar fasciitis, which is inflammation of the arch attachment to the heel, is a common problem we see can be what is the problem. Most of the time, one of our biggest weapons in either case will be prescription orthotics, where we can take into account your daughter's foot mechanics and the various corrections that might be helpful in taking the stress off the area that she's re-aggravating. Even if the growth center is together and beautiful, if her heels are bothering her, again, we're looking sometimes at soft tissue, and plantar fasciitis is common. And if you don't support that foot properly, if you don't pay attention to what's the best shoe for your daughter, what shoe is she wearing, what kind of schedule is she doing? Again, sometimes we'll see at that age, if she's serious, she's playing 10 days a week. So you might see you got to back her off. Definitely, especially if she's still hurting, that you have to back her off. Intelligent rest, I call it, at almost any level, where we see we have how much time do we need to be off where we could play or practice again. And overuse injuries are a little bit of a different animal, where we sometimes know, I don't remember hurting my ankle, et cetera. But it's been starting to bother me, and the idea of having enough time for these areas to heal, even if physical therapy is included, even if anti-inflammatory medication, which under supervision is okay, could be included. But the intelligent rest many times is what's sacrificed, and this is, again, why I wrote the chapter in hashtag A Sports Parent. In my section, The Sports Doctor's In, I wrote a whole chapter on youth sports and drugs. I'm very concerned about it. The availability of over-the-counter, effective, helpful pain-anti-inflammatory medicines, quite safe when taken under supervision, are available. I tell parents all the time, are you ready? Write it down. If your son or daughter needs over-the-counter pain medicine, in order to continue to participate, you're over the line. You're over the line. Now, under supervision, under certain instances, we might see that someone is still practicing. Maybe they're even playing, maybe to a lesser extent, and they might be taking anti-inflammatories. But in a general rule, over the line, we would need to back off. And again, overuse is one of the biggest problems that we run into with scheduling and the physical demand on, think of traveling teams, you know, 3-4 times a week, and think of a 10-year-old, 12-year-old being at the rink 6 days a week, jumping all week, or the young gymnast, again, with the same kind of schedule. So, you know, parents, of course, beware, and that's why I wrote The Prodigy Sports, is the other chapter that talked about some of those kinds of challenges, because they are real challenges. If we see these young kids, this is the sport they love. This is all they want to play, and whether we like it or not. And therefore, we want to at least pay attention to trying to stay away from overuse and abuse injuries best as we can. Jordan, I worry about persistent ankle sprains. I can't count them already. I'm 30 years old. You know, Jordan, you should be paying attention to this. Maybe you really have already. Are you on a good strengthening program? What type of foot mechanics do you have? Do you have orthotics in your shoes? Have you seen physical therapy? Persistent ankle sprains could end up with all sorts of arthritis problems later on. Sometimes no matter what you do, you might have to deal with that. The ankle, again, is still, it's the most commonly injured area, and often it's undertreated. Well, you know, I walked it off. It's not that bad. And gee, come to think of it, you know, I'm more susceptible to turning it again. Maybe I turned it a few times. And so when it's persistent, with a big word, we would then pay more attention to proper supervision. You want a diagnosis of all those aspects regarding foot mechanics, shoes, and a real strengthening program. That would be really, really mandatory and beneficial. Again, the email, drrwildsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. Everybody have a great July 4th. Go Team USA. Get that World Cup. Catch you next week, everybody. Thanks. It's The Sports Doctor.